Okay, tonight's show is dedicated to Nishmas Achso Bas Rav Meir. Okay, hope everyone had a lovely Purim. I want to talk about a topic that does follow up after Purim. And it's an interesting topic, but I'm going to make a disclaimer from the get-go that we are definitely not passing halacha lemaisa what one should do. If, as we see in tonight's topic, if it does come up on either side of the equation, either
Recording
you
in
did the
progress.
damage or you got damaged, you really do need to discuss it with a competent rabbi, because it is a complicated sugya. We're going to just lay out over here some of the issue that you should be aware of on both sides. What I'm going to be discussing tonight is, what is the halachic status of one does damage, causes damage while intoxicated? The truth is, this topic is going to be relevant not just to Purim, unfortunately, because there are people who drink all year long. But we're going to discuss predominantly three categories. One category is damage from being drunk in the context of Simcha, which obviously the most common one is Purim. But the other one is weddings, maybe even some Torah, depending on the nature of your shul. And then we're going to talk about a situation, what's called Shikrusa Shalait. What is the halachic status when someone gets so drunk, and that has nothing to do with Purim for that matter? He is so drunk, what's called Shikrusa Shalait, which I'm sure there are some people that don't remember that they hit that over Purim, but they did. And then they do damage. What's their halachic status then? So we'll have to categorize everything and try to see where it fits in.
The person does what Lot did.
Oh yeah,
Right
actually,
on
there's a Gemara
top.
like that. Yeah, the
Right.
Gemara talks about things. If someone's that drunk and does averus, what's his status? So,
What about regular alcoholic?
right. So we're gonna talk. Right. So we're gonna talk about regular drinking, regular what we call drunk, and then we'll talk about shikrus or shalait, and then we'll see how this all plays out. And again, believe me, and when I tell you this, there are many cases after Purim where things break in people's homes more than any other reason. For a very practical reason, many people have sudas in their home. Many people's homes are not that big and they're not that spacious. They're not like a wedding hall where you have an open space to dance and it's pretty hard to break something. You got to be talented at a wedding hall. But again, how many times did someone bump someone, broke his glasses, broke his phone? But these stories happen and they're worth discussing from a halachic standpoint. Yeah.
Why is this topic any different than doing damage during any mitzvah or anything that's
Yeah, that's going to be part of the discussion. There's really two parts to the discussion. Is the fact that it's in a celebratory situation of mitzvah meaning, let's say this is at a Super Bowl party and everyone gets drunk at the Super Bowl party and they start hitting each other. Is that going to be different than at a Purim Suda versus some Simchas Torah, Siyam Chasana? We'll have to discuss that. We'll have to see.
let's say a hatzalah. It's these are
Correct. That's a whole nother sugya. Yeah,
but
sure.
isn't it the same
That's a
thing?
similar sugya, right? Well, that does cross over a little bit.
Looks like I still most fun.
Exactly. So is the point because he's doing a mitzvah, or there's another element here? So let's see what we can dig up a little bit. Again, we put down over here 30 some 29, where I put over 31 sources. But again, there's much more really here that needs to be looked at. So this is just going to be a very quick, overview of the sugya. So let's take a look over here. Number one, interesting Rambam Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam writes, "V'yeshayim dimhizik es chaveiro mikoyach simchas purim." If one guy damages his friend because of Simchas Purim, what does that mean? Because of Simchas Purim, right? Two guys are dancing a lebedik and they're getting into it, and this happens. I've heard of many stories. One guy grabs the other guy's hands, he breaks it, breaks his hand, breaks his wrist, breaks his finger. These are unfortunately stories that happen every Purim. So does the other guy have to pay for the damage? Oh, really? Which way? He got hurt? Really? Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow. Okay. Should I give a shit about something more optimistic? Okay. So, Zog the Ramah, what happened? So, again, says the Ramah, Potter min l'shalim. You don't have to pay. Potter min l'shalim. What's going on over here? Now, you have to remember in Baba Kama, there's a rule that Daf Yomi did this not so long ago, but in Baba Kama, there's a rule called Adam Mu'ad L'Olam. A person is always obligated for every damage he causes with his own body. With your animal, there's leniencies, whether or not you watched it, but your body, you're responsible for whatever you do. So, what's going on over here? I damaged another person, but because it's Simchas Purim, I'm exempt from paying him. What's going on over here? But this is a Rambam Shulchan Aruch. Rambam says very clearly. He calls it a Yeshayim, but he writes that if you damage another person during Simchas Purim, you don't have to pay. And he tells you where to look. He tells you, look in the Trumas HaDeshen and look in Choshen Mishpat, what I wrote over there in Choshen Mishpat. So we will look up what the Rambam tells us in a minute, but this is the Rambam Shulchan Aruch. Right away, the Mishnah Berurah points out, what does it mean, Simchas Purim? So Rambam writes, Peirush, also Mikayach Simcha. You're doing this just it's on the good spirit. Avolim kivein lahazik. Well, let's say you had an eye, you had your eye on this guy for a long time. You never really liked him much. Now it's Purim. Oh, geshmak, Purim, boom. you deck him across the face. Says that Mishnah Berurah, no, Avalim Kivin LaHazik Chayv. It has to be that there is no intent over here to cause damage. It is just in playful good spirit. Accidents do happen. Again, things happen, especially if you had a Purim Suda and the table, the house is very narrow and there's not so much room and people's elbows go places. So Zakhtarat Mishnah Berurah, if there's no intent, then you're going to be put. So it would seem like from the Ramon Shulchan Aruch that one would be putter for any damage that he caused, whether it be property damage, right? Whether he breaks a vase, a lamp, a table. We'll talk about some wild cases about people jumping on tables. Someone told me a story that he was at a Purim Suda. The Bacha took the Rebbe's table and just flipped the whole table. All the china, whatever was on it, everything broke. Now, in Halacha, we'll see there's a difference between what the type of damage is. What happens, there's a tshuva, one of the contemporary Sfarim, where Bacha decides to stand on the living room table, not the dining table, the living room table, and he breaks it. I had a shayla the other day, someone during Purim stood on a chair and broke the chair. So all these types of shaylas, again, there might be, we'll see at the end of all this, it might depend what the damage is. Let's say a guy in Purim is so drunk, he sticks his hand through your wall. Is that called Simchas Purim? That was fair or not. That's not Simchas Purim. So we're going to talk about that type of shayla. But right now, again, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but the Ramon writes you potter as long as there's no intent to cause harm. Now, if you look in the Ramon, Soishe Mishpat, I wrote the other day, Taka prepared this on Purim. I wasn't drunk, but I prepared this on Purim. So I guess I got some of the Mar Mekemis a little fadrate. But the Ramon over here is not in Yeridei, it's Soishe Mishpat. So if you look in the Ramon, Soishe Mishpat, Reisha and Chas, what does he write over there? He says, Bachurim Harechvim Likras Chosim Vekal. Apparently, ready, the times of Rishon, they used to have interesting practices at the weddings. Today, you go to the weddings, you see all the shtick that they do, all this crazy stuff that the guys are doing. But apparently, back then, the practice was that the Bachurim used to ride in front of the Kala, Veziku Zeze. So they used to fight. It was like a fight during the shtick. Veziku Zeze, Momon Chaver, Derech Simcha, Uschoik. In playful manner, there was damage. Vechein Bishar Dvar Simcha. And other types of Simcha. Says the Rama, Hoyil v'nogu kein p'turin. Since that is the practice, everyone's pot. So if while you're doing poor mistake, you rip the guy's shirt, he rips your shirt, and you deck him, and he decks you, and you put all that. It's all fine, says the Rama. It's all in good taste. It's all okay.
Well, so, even if the other guy is not
So it sounds like that this is all based on the understanding that I'm Michael, you, and you're Michael, me, that there's a mechila here, which we'll talk about. Become okay. Yeah, they used to ride horses. Then he writes, Mikomokim in near the Bezin Master Sug together. But if the Bezin feels that they have to step in and do something, they say this is just it's getting out of hand over here. Then says the Ramah Harushos Beyond. So now this Ramon Chosh Mishpat is not about Purim. It's about Chasanus. We'll actually see the original source is really by weddings. By weddings was where there used to be some form of damages between people, and that the Rishonim were okay with because that was just the practice. That was the accepted practice. If you look in the Rambam over, this is going to be a very important Rambam going forward. The Rambam writes, Odo muid lo'olam. A person is always responsible for what he does. Bein shoygig, whether he's a mistake. Bein meizig, whether he's in purpose. Bein or, whether he's awake. Bein yoshin, whether he's sleeping. Bein shikur, whether he's drunk. Being drunk is not an excuse. Says the Rambam, Chovo b'chaveri, if you damage your friend or hizig mamon chaveri, Mishalim and Ayoifash and Nechosim, you have to pay from the best of your estate. So the Rambam lays it out very clearly for us that being drunk is not an exception. It's not an excuse. I was drunk. Right? Again, I don't believe the law considers that an excuse either, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
In secular law,
huh?
Unless it's somebody caused you to become drunk.
It's your fault because you got drunk.
Right. Otherwise, you're alive.
So that's what we're going to talk about, right? Whether or not it's your fault that you drank too much. But Zok the Rambam, being drunk is not an exception. You are just as guilty as any other crime that you do when you are drunk. So then the question is, if the Rambam writes very clearly that when you're drunk, you're chayiv, so what's this p'tor called the tzimcha? What does that have to do with anything? So if you take a look over here, now, the truth is the Ramah doesn't say anything about being drunk. He just says, Tim hizik echazvei mikayach simchas purim. You don't have to be drunk. Right? You can be just in a very geshmaka mood, in a freilacha mood. You're not allowed to be drunk. You know exactly what you're doing, but you're just being wild. Right? You can be wild without being drunk. But the Rambam says very clearly that if you are drunk and you cause damage, you have to pay. If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Chosh Mishpat, he writes, "Asur lahazik mamon chaver." You're not allowed to damage property of your friend. V'mezik, and if you damage it, afa pishein, and then even though you get nothing out of it, it's a destructive act. Chayiv l'shalim nezik sham. You must pay full damage. Bein shoyi shoygi, bein shoyi shoygi, bein shoyi oynis. V'dafko she'enei oynis gom. So this is going to be very important in our sugi. There is a big machloikis with Shainim between Tosfos and the Ramban in the end of the second parak of Baba Kamma. that the Mishnah says in Baba Kama, Adam Mudloy, a person is always responsible for what he does. What about if it's an oinus gong, an uncontrollable oinus? There's no way I could have prevented. Am I still held accountable? So is Machlokes Tosfos in the Ramban, and the Mechaber seems to hold it doesn't matter. No matter what level oinus it is. Let's say someone spiked my drink. Right, that's every yeshiva guy's excuse why he gets brought on Purim. Some guy kept on filling my cup. I would have stopped after two. Some guy kept on filling my cup. But so by the time Purim is over, he is gone. He is gone. But he claims it was never me. Someone kept on, I thought it was seltzers, really vodka. We all know the stories, right? Someone talk again, unfortunately, in the secular world, there's a big problem with people, you know, with rape, all this garbage that goes on in the Gaish world shouldn't be in our world, right? This is a real Shiloh, right? It's not my fault. Some guy slipped something in my drink. It's not, I'm not held accountable. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't draw any distinction between what we call an oinus gomer. The Ramah says, yeah, oinus gomer you're exempt from. Now, what exactly constitutes an oinus gomer? What are the guidelines? What's an oinus gomer? Right? Let's say, for example, you're walking down the street and you slip on someone's ice and then you fall on someone else. Or you fall on someone else's property and break that. Are you chayiv? It's not my fault. Or let's say you're jumping out of the way because something's about to fall on you, and now because you jumped in front of the way, you jumped on someone. All the rules are very, very in Baba Kama. This is complicated. Right? This is all Baba Kama. But this is important machloikis. Mechaba holds oinus gomer doesn't matter. A human is responsible for whatever he does. The Ramah says, no, if you're an oinus gomer, you'll be exempt. It's okay.
Somebody has an epileptic seizure while he's driving the car, and he never had one before. It just came. He's not responsible. No notice.
Right. So in halacha, that would be this machloikis. According to Taisvis, you'd still be chay. According to Ramah, you'd be potter because you're an oinus gomer. Now, if you take a look in the Trumas Hadeshin for a second, the Trumas Hadeshin was where the Ramah told us initially to look up. So if you look in the Trumas Hadeshin, he writes this: Yira diyesh limtza tam v'smach tzas l'minik zeh. He says matzosi hutak tshuva achas shemati merev tuvia b'shem rivo shekomachos sholoikchem haboychum zeh mizeh. It used to be the practice was that the Bochum would grab things from each other on Purim. It's still do today. Grab a snack out of the guy's hand, he'd grab his food. Says the Trumas Hadesh and Afilu Shloi Berishos, Mishum Simchas Purim. So that was part of the Purim. Again, no one's drunk over here. This was the shtick. The shtick was we'd steal from each other. Now, if you do that on a regular Tuesday, you're gone. In the middle of eating, you grab stuff from my... So Trumas Hadesh, it's okay on Purim. Why? Mishum, it was okay because Simchas Purim. When does that go? Mishas Kriya Samagila Ad Leila Sudas Purim. How much time do you have for this? So the Trumas Hadeshin says you have Shnei Leilas V'yaymecha. You have the first night of Purim, and then you go the whole day and then the next night. So you got two nights in a day to chop around all this behavior. Ein bohem mishum gneva v'lo gzela. And there's no problem of gneva or gzela. Now, there's only one problem with this Trumas Hadeshin. That wasn't our topic. If you look in the Ramah, what was our topic about? Damage. And you're comparing stealing. So the assumption is that they work the same. The same way somehow the magically on Purim, the rules of Gneva are suspended. So the rules of Chavala are suspended because of Simchas Purim. That seems to be the analogy that we're going to draw over here. If you look in the Beis Yosef, and this is going to be important because we know the Beis Yosef was a Beis Yosef Cairo, which means the Shulchan Aruch. If you notice, we haven't yet quoted anything from the Shulchan Aruch. Everything we've been quoting till now has only been from the Ramah. So what do the Sfaradim hold? They hold this is okay. They disagree. That was about, yeah, that just said you have to pay. I mean, it was, but no leniencies yet. We saw two Ramahs that have a leniency for Purim and a leniency for weddings. No Mechaber that has such leniencies. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, you write, because of Oid Shemotze B'tshuva, Shekomacha Shaloichem Abarchim Zeh Mizeh, Apshidu Shaloi B'shos, Shom Simchas Purim, Shas Kriyas Megel Alel, Sudas Purim. He basically quotes the whole Trumas Hadeshin. And then he writes at the end, V'nirili, the Hainu Lididu. That's only for those people. Shall you know him habachim kach? That was the practice. Avol onu shalay nagu kain and chiluk bein purim l'shayim moshe shalay yizeh. Says the Beis Yosef, that is not our practice. That whole Trumas Hadeshin, i.e., that whole Ramah, was because that was the practice. Everyone knew and everyone was on the same page and everyone accepted. Says the Beis Yosef, but where I come from, that was not the accepted practice. Therefore, says the Beis Yosef, it's not allowed. So what does it sound like from the Beis Yosef? This is all based on the premise of like a mechila. I'm Michael you and you're Michael me, and I wave it and you wave it, but says the Beis Yosef, that's not where I come from. Where I come from in the non-Ashkenazic world, it's not assumed like that. So it sounds like the Beis Yosef is disagreeing with the whole premise. According to the Beis Yosef, one guy damages another guy in Purim, one guy damages another guy in the middle of the dancing, gonna have to pay for it. So it seems to be Machlokes, Mechaber, and the Ramah. Now, if you look in the Ramah, in number 8, he writes, people who grab things from each other in a playful way, is no problem of loy sigzol. V'nogukach, and that was the practice. This is the same Ramah that's coming off of the Trumas Hadashen. So clearly you see from the Ramah in three places, two in Hilchas Purim, one in Hilchas Choshen Mishpat, that there's a certain assumption that when you're in a joyful mood, people are a lot less makpid on damage. They just let it go. Like, no problem, it's okay, you knocked me in the face, I knocked you in the face, everyone is okay. And it seems like from the Beis Yosef that this laxity was not found in the Sfar Deshapayski. Then we come to the Yamshul Shloim. Yamshul Shloim was the great Mashal. So he writes like this. V'hashikr afilu higiyu yoyse mishikusa shalait. Says the Yamshul Shloim, if a person is drunker than drunker of light, that's pretty smashed, right, light. Says the Yamshul Shloim, mikol mokoy mechayiv b'tashvul mea kol hazeikus. You still have to pay. Why? I will see Bli Ned in a few minutes. There's a very important Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says, we're going to learn together a Gemara. The Gemara in Erevin says if a person hits Shikrusa Shaloit, he is not punished by Bezdin for anything he does. So if a guy hits Shikrusa Shaloit and he goes out and lives with a lady he's not supposed to, he goes out and eats Machal Sasurus, no capital punishment. Now I'll tell you guys an unbelievable Mechir Yayin. Can't tell us to Bochum, can only tell it to older people. Not anyone's old, Chas V'Shalom. It's not Bochum. You're careful what you tell people about ages, even men. So the Mechir Yayin is the Ramah. Ramah wrote a sefer called Mechir Yayin on the Megillah, which he gave it to, it's supposed to be Shalach Manas to his father. So in that sefer, he writes something which I never saw before. It's unbelievable. He writes that since it's so hard to balance drinking on Purim with the mitzvahs Ayoyim, he said, just become Shikr Kaloit, and then you're part of all mitzvahs, so you don't have to worry. So the Mechir Yayin, it's unbelievable. Ramah writes that. I'm not giving this advice to young people. There are more than Mechir Yayin in the commentary to the Megillah. He writes that line. Now, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, when you hit Shikrus HaShalayt, you're not held accountable for anything you do. So now the question is going to be, if a guy gets to Shikrus HaShalayt, so the Gemara says, we'll read it together in a few minutes, and he's potter from any capital punishments. So how can it be chai for breaking your dining room table? The guy's not going to get punished by Hashem for eating a cheeseburger because he was so smashed. Whatever, we'll have to define what Shikrus HaShalayt means. He's so gone, he doesn't even know what he did, but yet he's going to have to pay for the lamp that he broke in my house. Doesn't that even make sense? So the Mashal says, yeah, no, he does. So
this is not connected to Simcha.
This is general. Right. So he writes, when we call Mokai, we kabal dina mashal, the otzar beruchai, the shikr atzame lishtage. He says, you know why he's held accountable? Because he shouldn't have got to that point. You have no right getting to Shikrus HaShalayt. You got to control your alcohol. So even though now you're an oinis, but you have no right to get yourself into a status of an oinus. Frek the marshal avol the poiter midin hezik shemazik aver pshita dechayv the odamu loylam ben shaygi ben meizib ben or ben yosh ben oinus ben rotz. Dim loikin, this is interesting. He says, if you don't say this, loishavkus chayv the cholsoyne yishtev yishtak al-chaver. Says the marshal, if you don't say this, I have a very simple way of dealing with people I don't like. I will get really drunk and I'll burn his house, slash his tires, break his windows. No one can, you know, not held accountable. Shakruz and shaloit. Says the mashal, it can't be. There's no way this can be part of Choshen Mishpat. So he says, one second. What about Purim? Says the mashal, v'afilu b'Purim demukhiv l'shtaker mikomokim ein kavonas v'abesenu k'dei sheishtageya. He says, but that was not what you're supposed to get drunk on Purim. Says the mashal, if you got drunk shekusah shalait on Purim, you're also wrong. Because that was too far. That's the adaloyada, up till and not past it. If you got the shekusah shalait, you went too far. So therefore, says the Mashal, you're going to be chayv. So the Mashal has two chiddushim over here. Chiddush number one, which we'll come back to Bli Neder later, is that he holds that Shikrus HaShalayt, you're still chayv for any damage that you caused, and even on Purim as well. Because on Purim, you had no right to get the Shikrus HaShalayt. His whole reason why he patted you by Shikrus HaShalayt, why he holds you chayv, is because you had no right to get the Shikrus HaShalayt. What about on Purim? On Purim, you also had no right to get the Shikrus HaShalayt. That's the chiddush of the Mashal.
Then we learned around last week about the same, basically the same idea.
That's right. That's what he says. He said that you drank more than you were supposed to. Now let's take a look at another Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah
Berurah. So what does the Mechir Yayin do with that Gemara?
What does the Mechir Yayin do with that Gemara? Again, the truth is the Chiddush that Mashal is saying now, we're going to develop Bli Neder as we go on. It's a very big Chiddush. And plenty of people argue on the Mashal. Because the Pashtus of the Gemara in Erevin sounds like the Mechir Yayin and not like the Mashal. Bli Neder will talk more about it. The Mashal is saying that even though the Gemara in Erevin says that when you're Shikr Kaloit, you're not Chayiv for Misa and Malkus, but you still have to pay for breaking the lamp. The Gemara doesn't sound like that. The Gemara sounds like when you hit Shikrus HaShalayt, you are exempt from all responsibilities. So that is a good kasha on the Mashal.
And what does the Mishir Yayin do with the other thing that you're not supposed to really drink until the Suda, even though we learned, you know, a little bit at night, but you're not supposed
to drink until the Suda. Again, I don't know if he meant it, but I don't know what he meant by it, but that's what he writes in the Sefer. I don't know what he meant by it. Now let's, yeah.
I was going to say, is it possible that there's a underlying conceptual machlokus about why somebody who's mazik somebody else has to pay them?
That's definitely such a possibility.
Well, it either be restitution or I did something wrong. I wronged you. So if I have a special pator, quorum or whatever, then I'm out of it. But if it's
Yes, we will develop a little deeper understanding what the machlokus is. Now, right away, we have to comment on the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah quotes from a Tshuvas HaBach. I don't believe this is found in the actual Bach on the side of the Torah. It's actually a Tshuvas HaBach, which we quote a little bit later. The Bach, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bach number 10. The Bach mechalik ben hezek godol katan. The Bach differentiates between how much damage there was. You broke a $5 thing, you broke a $500 thing. Now, this also might depend on whose house you're in. You're in your Rebbe's house, so, you know, $5 makes a difference. You're in a big Gevir's house, okay, 20, whatever the numbers are going to be. So the first chiluk that the Bach draws is how much money it is. The second chiluk he makes is what? Bein beguf, bein bemomen. To behizik godol, makpidim. People are makpid when it comes to a lot of money. So what do you see from the Bach? He understood this whole halacha as a mechila. I'm willing to let it go. I'm only willing to let it go to a certain degree. Again, you break one thing here, you know, sometimes you're eating too quick, so you break the fork and you drop it. Okay, we'll let it go. If you're going to break a vase, you're going to break a this, you're going to do a serious amount of damage, no one is going to let it go. So L'chayr from the Mishnah Berurah, you see, and I saw later Achrenim use this Mishnah Berurah L'chomaisim. When you have a story, let's say the guy would break the dining room table. That's a serious loss. So that's not going to be included in Mechila. Maybe if he breaks a folding table, okay, I don't know how much folding tables cost, not as much as a dining room table. But if the guy breaks something, that's a significant amount of money. So then, according to everyone, he's going to have to pay. The Prima Gadim writes a line over here, which needs further analysis. He writes, why are you potter? Have ka'oines k'tsas. The reason why you're potter if you hit someone or damage someone on Purim is because you're a shtickle oinus. What does that mean, you're an oinus? What are you an oinus for? Oinus means it wasn't in your control. But first of all, didn't we learn that Adam would lo'ilim even if he is an oinus? This is not clear what the Prima Gadim meant by this. What he meant by this line that you're an oinus.
Also, I'm trying to understand the underlying idea. Is it that person is the simcha, and therefore he gets a free pass? Or the person that he was mazik understands that?
I would say the other way. I think there's two ways to say it. One way they throw around this hefka bezen hefka. The rabbi said, we are not making anyone obligated to pay if it was done in the simcha setting. That's one way. The other way is saying, like mechila. Everyone is willing just to live and let live, and we're willing to forego it.
So Purim night is Masharia. Somebody pulled out of the driveway by my parents, and I was parked there, and the guy hit me.
Oh, yeah.
And I know he hit me.
His car.
And he basically knew it also, but he was hoping, you know,
let it go.
It wasn't much, and whatever. I got in my car later. I mean, it's a nice amount of damage. Is he putter for that?
Yeah, that's not Simchas Purim.
That's what I'm saying. That had nothing to do with Simchas Purim.
That's a great example. That had nothing. We'll talk more about it later. That has nothing to do with Simchas Purim. Yeah, that has nothing to do with Simchas Purim.
It's the fact that it can't occur on Purim doesn't matter.
That's correct. It's not. That's right. It has to be while you're dancing. But that is, you know. Again, but that would be very, again, that would be problematic because at night there's no mitzvah to drink. That looks like it wouldn't work. Simchas Purim is a reason why people are let their guard down a little bit. But again, that wouldn't permit you to do something personal either. Again, this heter is not so much necessary because it's a mitzvah. There's another simin which I wanted to talk about, which the Gemara Baba Kama talks about, Ratz L'Dvar Mitzvah, Ratz B'Erev Shabbos. That's a whole separate sugya that needs to be discussed. Here, but it's not so much because it's a mitzvah. Well, obviously, it's because it's a mitzvah, but that's not the point. The point is more than just a mitzvah. The point is there's a certain understanding that there's going to be a certain attitude at a Purim party, and that attitude means I'm going to forego whatever damage happens. In this case, I don't see any tzad why the guy shouldn't have to pay. That has nothing to do with Simchas Purim.
But Rebbe basically said the kids are coming over. Something.
Right, exactly. Right. So everyone knows that they have a Purim Suda. They know already, expect something's going to break. Anything valuable put away. We'll talk about what about the classical vomit child. Guy vomits on someone's carpet. You got to clean it. Who pays for the damage? So everyone knows if you're inviting Yeshiva Bachim to your house, that is part of, you know, that's
some sort of the risk.
That exactly is part of it. So we'll talk a little bit more about it. So if you take a look at Shlomo Zalman in the Halicha Shlomo, he writes, someone answers Shlomo Zalman about someone who damages on Purim. Omar, he says, you need to know well. This is amazing. Says Rosh Hashanah, you have to know what's really Simchas Purim. Umahu kalos daiti. What's just stam being lightheaded? There's a certain, you know, this is Rosh Hashanah talking, right? Simchas Purim is a certain look. It's not just wild and screaming and moving your hands around like that and just being crazy. That is not Simchas Purim. That is just being crazy. But Simchas Purim is the guys are dancing in a very serious way. So Rosh Hashanah says, it's not clear to know which is really Mikoyach Simchas Purim. That's Rosh Hashanah Zaman's taina. And the truth is, it's not his chiddush. It's already found in the Aruch HaShulchan in two places. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in two places, back to back. One in Simitof Reish Tzadi Hei, and one in Simitof Reish Tzadi Vav. He writes number 12. Oid Kosev Di Yeshoim in the Hidiketz Chavei B'Simchas Purim Patim D'Shal. Now again, nowhere in the Ramah did it say that the guy was drunk. Simchas Purim doesn't mean he's drunk necessarily. Simchas Purim just means he's really enjoying the Masiba. He's at a Masiba and it's really Gishmak and everyone's dancing and everyone's into it. Lav Dafka does it have to be because he's drunk. It could be not.
Right.
Could be, let's say, the night before it's a Gishmak and Masiba and everyone's dancing and everyone's having a great time. If I'm mistaken, you step down and there's a guy's foot there and you break his foot. Again, these are Maisim B'chol Yom. How many times has some guy come back from a wedding and he got elbowed in the face? Someone stepped there, you know?
There's a guy in the shul, he's wearing a boot. See what happened? He goes, the guys were dancing around and they stepped on my
foot. Right. So that is a great example of a Simchas. Of Simcha Shomitzer, right? That's right. You know, that's not to me, not even a shayla. That's I'm saying, that's exactly what we're talking about. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, Kloimar, Sholei Kivan LaHazik, he had no intention of damaging you. Ela Kivan LeSmayach, Mikoyach HaSimcha Ziku. This guy wanted to dance. He wanted to have a good time, and you know, mistakes happen. Ukvar Kasav Nuzav Choshim Mishpatzayv Simcha Nayachetz. But Achshav says the Aruch HaShulchan, Bav Nesenu Arvo Kol Simcha. All of our Simchas are mixed. Bein Anu Noyegim LeSmayach Kol Kach. We don't really know how to do simcha the right way. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says that whole heter is out. That was a heter back in the times of Rishayim, a heter in the times of Ramah. Today, no one is that pure, no one is that innocent, no one is that unadulterated thought. He throws the whole halacha out. Meaning everyone today has a little bit of simcha and a little bit of, I'm just not being careful enough. I'm just letting it go. No, none of this is in the Gemara. This is all in the Rishayim. That's a great point. No one in the Gemara do you find any of these Heterim that were developed over here. These were all later in the Rishayim. We'll see. There might be a ride to a Mishnah in Sukkah in a second. Then the Aruch HaShulchan repeats it one more time in number 13. He writes, "V'achshav lo inogu kein today we don't have it. V'chei mishe hezik chayim shalim daigdoi b'avneseinu harabim orvo kol simcha vein ono b'madregazu." We are not at that madriga. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, no matter what damage you do, you're going to have to pay. And that was the opinion of Rabbi Eliashiv as well, number 19. The answer of Rabbi Eliashiv, "Sha'alti laharav." The minig today is that you do pay for any damage that you do while you're drunk. It has to really be Simchas Purim, not just because you're so drunk, you don't know what you do. It's got to be in the mood and in the backdrop of Simchas Purim. Now, there might be a very stark raya in Rishonim to this heter that we're discussing now. This heter that we're discussing is that when there's a playful area and a playful mindset, there's a certain assumption that no one's going to have to pay for what they do. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei. The Mishnah in Sukkah says that on the seventh day of Sukkot, Miyat Tinoikas Shoimtin Luvein. From the hands of the Tinoikas, they would grab the Luv. What does that mean? So Tosfos over here in Sukkah brings down, Luvei HaTinoikas Shoimtin HaGedel Miyadam. The adults would grab the Lulavs of the children, the Lulavim of the children, and they would eat the kids' esrogim. This is right after on Hashanah Rabbah, after you finish using the lulav. So the adults would come over to all the kids, grab away the lulavim, and eat their esrogim. Sounds very very becoming of the adults in the room, right? Says Tosfos, it's not a problem. This was playful. Again, we're talking about Tosfos, times of Rishonim. He's playing Chan in the Mishnah. Going back to the times of the Mishnayos. In the times of the Mishnayos, this is what they used to do on Shvi, on the seventh day of Sukkot, on Hashanah Rabbah. That was the activity and the fun for Sukkot. And then he writes, Kach Pesh Bekuntras. V'yesh Lomag Mikan says, Tosfos, whoa, if you're allowed to do that, so then now I can justify the boys. V'yesh Lomag Mikan, V'oysim Bochrim, Shereich V'en Besusim. They ride on their horses, Likras Chosin, V'en Lachomim Zem, and they fight with each other. Apparently, part of the shtick was they'd have like a little fight, jousting in front of the Chasan and Kala. They kairin big dayim, and they would rip their clothing. Big day shachaveru imikalkal isusai. They hurt each other's horse. And this is, you know, can you imagine? And a Chasan would say the horse strolls in the middle of the Chasan and Kala. It's a taisus. What do you want? I'm not gonna go over well to cater. Shehim turin shekach nogu machmas simchas chasan. So you saw what taisus did over here. Tosfos said, once I have a Rashi, the Rashi saying Pshat in the Mishnah and Sukkah, that in the Mishnah and Sukkah, they used to allow theft and damage because it's under the banner of Simcha, so I can justify a wedding also. It's the difference. Now, if you're going to justify the wedding, I could justify the Purim Mesibah. This is where we're going. You see, we're heading over here. We're borrowing from this Rashi and applying it to what Tosfos says, and that's where we got to the point where if it's Simcha, it's okay.
Except the will of an Etrog at that point had no real value. That he made it clear that it was after.
That's true. Again, it's still technically their property, right? Now, there's a bigger problem over here. Ketanim don't really own things. The whole thing over here is such a hard comparison. We're talking about stealing from people that are not really stealing from Midereisa. But here's where it gets interesting. In Chazan Uvadia, he disagrees with this whole thing. Because as I pointed out to you earlier, there's no mechaber anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that says you're allowed to do playful activity and not pay for it. We have a Ramah, no mechaber. So Chazan Uvadia, Bavadia Yosef writes, he says, the loy kaimelon, number 16, he writes, the loy kaimelon karamo hanau shapasa kemaya taisus. He says, we svarim don't paskin like the Ramah. Because the Ramah was coming off of this taisus and sukkah. This taisus and sukkah said the same way Rashi holds. You're allowed to steal from the kids because of simcha, you're allowed to damage each other at the wedding. Svarim don't hold that way. Elo kemaya rush. They hold like the rush. Shechoylek ala taisus. What's the choylek? The rush has a hold of him shat in the Gemara. Doesn't mean that they used to grab the loving from the kids. It just means that the kids would put it down and then the adult would come and take it. But there's no theft involved. So says Chazan Uvadia, if that's true, that means you hold there's no permissibility to steal things mitayich simcha. So if there's no permissibility to do things mitayich simcha, there's no permissibility to do this stuff at the wedding. If you can't do this stuff at the wedding, you can't do this stuff on Purim. So therefore says Reb Uvadia, since the rush argues on how to learn this Gemara, it comes out that the Rosh holds none of this stuff is permissible. And that's the way we paskin. That's what he wants to argue. Which means, according to Svardim, if you accidentally bump a guy at a wedding, you step on his foot, you got to pay. There is no such thing called simcha damage. Well, that's Tamuzi, the other argument. There's three camps over here. There's one camp that doing things in the context of simcha's mutter, and you don't have to pay. Then in that camp, you have that friend like the Aruch HaShulchan, and Rabbi Yashu would say, well, today we don't know what's going on in your mind. Then we have a whole other camp, which we'll call the Svadish camp. They hold this whole head that doesn't exist at all. Where does it say anywhere that you're allowed to damage someone under the context of Simcha? Doesn't exist. And then he writes over here, the Kosev came with Chuvah Sarosh. He quotes a Chuvah Sarosh that says, Bachurim Reichvi Asusim, Simcha Chosim, Shezik Echem Mehem Dechayim. Move over to it, it's brought down in the Torah. And then he points us out, like we said, he says, look in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef commented and said that we don't have this practice. And therefore he concludes that Rabbi Avadia Yosef Paskins, that we Svarad and follow the Beis Yosef, and we do not allow it. So here it gets tricky. The Svaradi guy damages an Ashkenazi guy. Ashkenazi damages the Svaradi guy. It's a big machoikis of it. So right now we have a machoikis between the Svaradim and the Ashkenazi. The Ramah seems to hold, Kipshutoi, that if it's under the banner of Simcha, whether it be at a wedding, whether it be on Purim, whether it be in any other setting where you can justify Simcha, which is not too many others, and it has to be a venue that's understandable to be somewhat a Simcha. Your Chanukah Masiba, you know, it shouldn't look like your Purim Masiba, you know, for a lot of reasons. But that's going to come out according to the Ashkenaz. Now, the truth is, Rebbe Vajra's Rai is very questionable. Because the fact that the Rosh says that's not Pshat in the Gemara doesn't mean the Rosh doesn't agree with the premise. He just doesn't think that's what the Gemara means when it says the words, Mi'at Tinoik Yishayim Tin Luvayim. He's just arguing, the Rosh argues that those words in the Mishnah don't mean that they grabbed the love of the kid's hands. Not because they're not allowed to, but just not, that's not what the Mishnah doesn't mean, miyad, from the hands of the Tinoik, because it just means that the kids put it down. So they're arguing about how to read a Mishnah in Sukkah. Lav dafka are they arguing about the background and the halachic stats. So that's the point over here that can be made. So if you'd stop right here, we basically develop that it seems to be a machloikis mechaben ramah. If in any venue of Simcha, in any area of Simcha, whether it be a wedding, whether it be Purim, if one damages another person, would there be Pater? According to the Ramah, you'd be Pater, as long as it's not a large amount of money, which I'm not sure how you define that. What's the number? 200, 300, 2,000? I have no idea what those numbers are going to look like. You punch a guy, you know, you elbow a guy, he breaks his glasses. 200, 300, depends on the glasses, insurance covers. I have no idea what these numbers would look like. But according to the Svaradim, it doesn't make a difference. According to the Svaradim, there is no such thing. Now let's take a look at this Gemara in Erev. This is a very important Gemara. Says the Gemara in Erevin, Shikur Mekhoi Mekach Umemkari Memkar. If a guy buys things when he's drunk, or he sells things when he's drunk, right? Let's say a guy had his Purim Suda decided he wants to buy property from another guy, two wealthy guys sitting together. He decides he wants to buy Mar-a-Lago from Trump. He needs extra cash, right? He needs the money. He's going to buy a train. He decides he's buying it, right? And then he wakes up after after a couple of hours. What did I just do? Talk to Gemara too, but anything that you did when you were drunk, you are buying. Over aver, let's say a guy was drunk and he did an aver that comes along with the death penalty. He will get killed for it. Malkin, Malkin, I say. If he did something that gets him Malkus, he will get Malkus for it. There's no excuse that you were drunk. Says the Gemara, Klavish Odover, Arehuki Pikechel Chodvar. Says the Gemara, a drunk person is a regular person. No exceptions, no excuses. But to skip down to the Gemara, Omer Reb Chanina, Loishan, Ela Shalei Higia the Shekusa Shalait. That's when he's a regular drunk. So our whole Sugya till now was regular drunk or regular Simcha. Avo Higia the Shekusa Shalait. When you do it well, you do it right, you get the Shekusa Shalait. Then, Potter Mikulam. Very important words. Potter Mikulam sounds like everything, not just the above. You are completely not held responsible for anything you do, even damage. Right, from mitzvahs and damage. It sounds like you are completely exonerated from everything that you do. That was the Mechayayin. That was Mechayayin's Taina. Once you're going to do it, you got to go to Shekhus HaSholeh. Now, let's take a look over here on the next page in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, well, first of all, let's define, what's Shekhus HaSholeh? We know Lloyd was pretty drunk to live with his two daughters. That's pretty drunk. But
is the impression that he never realized that?
So what is the definition of Shekhus HaSholeh? So if you look in the Rambam writes, Hashikir mekri mekach umemkri memkar uman noisim kayomim. This is very important. How many people gave away stock when they were drunk on Purim? And then we say, what did I just do? I just bought myself a wing in some yeshiva that I didn't even know about. Like, what happened? So the answer is no. If you were regular drunk, it's all binding. But the Megia l'Shekhus HaSholeh, who? You have no idea what you did. Now, does that mean at the time or does that mean afterwards? At the time, a shikr knows what he's doing. I thought shikr was when you wake up the next morning, you're like, what did I do yesterday? Yeah. Like, what happened? So most guys that wake up the next morning, they're like, I remember what I said, but I would have never said it had I not drunk. That's like the good drunk, if we can say such a word. Shikr shalai means I don't remember the last 24 hours of my life. That's bad. That's shikr shalai. So Zok the Rambam, if you get to that point, Ve'en yedeh ma oise, ein mais of kulum. Varehu kishoita, oi kikotan pachlas mi ben sheish. Says the Rambam, you are like a shoita, and you are like a child under the age of six. You are held, sounds like you are not held for anything you do. So 1 second. Would that sound like you'd be have to pay for damage? Guy wakes up Shushan Purim morning, doesn't remember anything, he's got a bad headache, and someone says, by the way, here's a bill. You broke this, you broke that, you broke that. I don't remember anything. So you're going to tell me, according to this Rambam, he's going to have to pay for damages. Forget Purim. Forget Purim. The guy got too drunk at any event. Whatever the event is, it doesn't sound like it should matter. Once he's kishakus shaloit, he's like a shaita, and he's like a katan. Again, if a katan goes around breaking things, no one, unfortunately, gets to get paid for that. Doesn't sound like that. Sounds like from the Rambam. Well, sounds like from the Rambam that shakus shaloit means you are exonerated from everything you did. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hashikur mekri mekachu memkri memkur matnoisu kayomim v'megiyah l'shikurusa shaloid v'oise v'eni yedeya ma'oise ein ma'isav klom v'ariyu k'moy hashoit." Basically the same words as the Rambam. So we have a Mechaber, we have a Rambam. Now you have to remember, we had another Rambam. We had a Rambam that told us that if you damage when you're shikur, you're chayiv. Now we have another Rambam that sounds like, but if it's shikurusa shaloid, it's a different story. So this is already very negayah. The guy gets really, really drunk, and he is totally unaware of everything that he does. It sounds like he has a free pass. He can eat bas v'chalav, and he can live with everyone he wants, and he can even kill someone, right? Kill someone. He's not held responsible. It's unbelievable. Okay, from that strange relationship came Mashiach. So it sounds like Shekhus HaSholeh is exonerated. Right. It sounds important. The Gemara says, Avalagir Shekhus HaSholeh Potter Mikulam. That's what we got to try to figure out. That's what we got to see. So if you take a look over here in number 21, the Sefer called Teres HaMishpat, but he's very bothered. He says, I don't understand. We had a Marshal. Now that Marshal is very relevant. We had a Marshal, number 9. Marshal said that if you get to Shekhus HaSholeh on Purim, you have to pay for the damage. How? How does that make any sense? The guy gets to Shekhus HaSholeh and he's Baz B'chol. He gets to Shekhus HaSholeh, he lives with the lady he's not supposed to. Peasant says, I'm sorry, we can't do anything. Shekhus HaSholeh. But he broke the lamp. Okay, now he's got to pay for that. How does that make any sense? The Rambam says he's a shaita. He's a katan. How could he be chayv to pay for the lamp that he broke, the foot that he stepped on, the glasses that he broke? He's a shaita. Shaita are not chayv anything. So how are we supposed to make heads or tails out of this? So if you look in the safe, he points out, umash yesh levar b'chozeh, the mavor heim ediver ramam, the heim ediver yam shoshloimu, sheshikr shehezi chayv v'shalom. Okay, the cost of yam shoshloimu, the afilu sheshikr shehegila, dregel sholay chayv v'shalom. Maishna mimecha v'kedushin. I don't understand. This guy can't buy something under the mindset of Shakur Sashalit, but yet he's responsible to pay for damage that he did? How does that work? What's the difference? How do we split it? This guy goes out and gave a girl a ring when he was totally gone. And the next morning he wakes up and they told me, no, you just got married. I said, what are you talking about? I never got married. No, it's all on video. We saw you do it. So Zogdi Mechaber writes like this in Ebenezer. That marriage does not count for anything. Why? Because he's a shikr. But yet, if at that wedding he by mistake elbowed a guy in the face, then I have to pay. How does that make sense?
Well, we just talked about
it. Uh-oh, good. So this might have something to do with how mazik works versus other things in the Torah. So he writes, the yesh oid line. Then he has another point. What happened to the argument of Oynis Gomer? Maybe Shikrusa Shalot is an Oynis Gomer. Can we argue that when a person gets that drunk, that he does remember what he's doing, he's now the level of Oynis Gadol or Oynis Gomer? Is there meaning if he planned to get drunk or not?
In other words, there's a fine line between, a shikar simpa and a shikar where you don't know what's going on.
Definitely true. That we saw already from the Rambam.
Some people cross that line in a good, deliberate manner, and some don't. Some cross by accident.
Oh, so we're going to talk a little bit. There is a lot of discussion about the argument of Tchilasi. A guy sits down on Purim, no intention of getting Shikusa Shalit, but he's not careful. He has more and more and more. Next thing you know, he hits Shikusa Shalit. So are we going to say he deliberately hit Shikusa Shalit? No. He didn't sit down. Again, some guys wake up one day, I want to get to Shikusa Shalit. I am so miserable. I want to drown my problems. I'm going all the way. Some people say, no, I want to start with one. And next thing you know, they get to Shikusa Shalit. So that's another argument. Do we say Tchilosei Bipshia? The Seif Abayinus. I started off being negligent. Maybe I should have watched what I was drinking, and I wasn't, and then I ended up being Shikus HaShalit.
No, I'm saying, you watch, but you didn't realize you're crossing the line.
All right, so then that might even be more of an honest. So the argument he makes over in the Sefer, he says, V'yesh oid line, Shavishitas ha-toysvis, V'chei pasak ha-ramad, V'chol ma'ad, V'vod ha-odom ha-mazik, Chai b'yinis, Zer rak b'yinis, that's a regular honest. Ava b'yinis gomer potter, Del choyo, Yitzvich ha-machshva shikr, K'yinis gomer, why is he shikr, not an honest gomer? He totally cannot control himself. That's why he does funny things when he's drunk, because he can't control himself. So is that the level of oinus that Toisvis and the Ramah hold patterns for damage? So he wants to tell it like this. Number 23, he says, let's go back to the basics. What is the reason why you're potter according to Ramah if you damage someone? Is it because we're moichel each other? Interesting svara. Maybe it's not my fault. I'm supposed to enjoy Purim. So what do you want me to do? Enjoy Purim means I got to dance crazy and have a great time, and anything that comes into my way is not my problem. So he wants to have a tzad that maybe the reason why you're potter is not because we're moichel each other. The reason why I potter is almost because it's not my fault. What do you want me to do? How am I supposed to enjoy Purim if I'm watching the whole time? It's going to be not exactly a geshmak of Purim receiver. Because every guy's watching, I can't step the wrong way. I may step on you. So he wants to argue that maybe the reason why you're potter is because it's annoyingness. I can't control it. So he says, very geshmak, that's an afkamina. He said, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have any p'tor for damage on Purim. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch holds oinus yechayev. The Ramah is the one that always talks about being potter. That's because the Ramah holds oinus gomer is potter. So he wants to tie in this lishitasai. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch holds oinus gomer yechayev, and that's why even on Purim you're going to be chayev. Well, it's too bad. You're an oinus? Too bad.
Is there a concept that you're certain, in other words, if you go to a Purim party, you kind of know something could happen.
That's the other svar. That's the svar of Mechila. Right. That's the svar of Mechila. He's going on the svar of Oynis. He's saying that the Mechaber doesn't have Oynis because the Mechaber holds Oynis, you're also Chayiv. But Mashenkin, the Ramah is the one that holds Oynis as a Ptor. And he holds that when you drink on Purim, that's an Oynis. How can I not dance on Purim without thinking about other people?
So, this one for the Ramah would love to, what happened?
Like to have been an Oynis. It was an uncontrollable situation.
So they're both on the same
step. So he wants to tell you that if you hold that it's not about mechila, but it's about being an oinus, so then the machloekis mechab and ramah here is a shitosa in Baba Kam.
But the Baal likely holds the other side. That's why he makes a difference.
That's correct. But most likely it's not this side. Most likely it has to do with Mechila. And the question between the Machab and the Ramoy is, are people Mechila or not?
In
that type of setting. Right. Okay, so I see already we ran out of time. I really was hoping we'd finish this in 1 week. Okay, so Mr. Shem, next week we'll wrap this up and then we'll talk about something else. I'm not sure what yet. Yeah. We'll see. We didn't get to a Gewaldig Reb Chaim Kanevsky yet, so hold off for next week. Don't get drunk this week, okay? We'll get on next week. That's
a very
good question.
Thank you.
That's a good question. Why is Lloyd the example of Shekusa Shaloid and not Noach?